Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the Journal of Discourses? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. The Journal of Discourses is often cited not only in Mormon publications, but by us at MRM as well. And we have used the Journal of Discourses to try to give a picture of what Mormon leaders have actually taught in the past. Now, there have been a lot of misunderstandings among lay members in the LDS Church as to what the Journal of Discourses really entails. I received the following email from a member of the LDS Church a while back, trying to correct us on our use of the journal, and I do think he misunderstood what we were trying to accomplish by citing it. But he says this. He says, first of all, the LDS Church has always supported Brigham Young as a prophet, but has never accepted the Journal of Discourses as church doctrine. Here is the reason. The Journal of Discourses was not written or even edited by Brigham Young. It is merely a collection of notes from various individuals who listened to remarks made by Brigham Young, but not necessarily stated accurately or within context. In other words, the Journal of Discourses is little more than hearsay. It cannot be accepted credibly. The individuals who wrote it may have heard many discussions properly, but many discussions could just as well have been misunderstood. For this reason, some of the ideas stated in the Journal of Discourses have never been entertained by the LDS Church as doctrinally sound.
Well, that sounds very similar to what BYU professor Stephen E. Robinson said in his book, How Wide the Divide, that he printed in 1997. And on page 68, this is what he said. During my lifetime, and especially during the last decade, the instructions to members have consistently run along these lines. Never mind the Journal of Discourses, return to the scriptures, stick to the standard works. And so a Mormon is going to say, well, if it's not in the standard works, how can we trust anything that's found in this book, especially as this writer that you encountered is saying that, how do we know it's even accurate?
Well, I think this person who wrote me it makes me wonder if they even read the Journal of Discourses, because when he uses the argument the Journal of Discourses was not written or even edited by Brigham Young, why, of course it wasn't. If he'd ever looked at the journals at all, it's 26 volumes of sermons, and yes, Brigham Young gave most of the sermons that are recorded in the journal, but many other leaders gave sermons in the journal as well. So why do we expect Brigham Young to edit them? Now, I know Brigham Young had made the comment that if he had the opportunity to go through his sermons and edit them, they are as good as scripture. I know he said that. But to give this blanket assertion that the church has never considered the journal to be doctrinally sound, if that's the case, then why have so many manuals produced by the LDS Church quote the Journal of Discourses, sometimes numerous times? I just did a cursory examination before recording today, and I just grabbed a couple of manuals and did some searches on here. Presidents of the Church Student Manual, this is 2004, it quotes the journal 30 times.
That's a lot of times.
In that manual. Now there's another manual, Church History in the Fullness of Times. It's a bigger manual, it only quotes it 5 times, but it does quote it. And then I also found in this manual, it's Doctrines of the Gospel Student Manual, it quotes the Journal of Discourses 14 times. And I'm sure if I was to do a more exhaustive examination in other church manuals that we have in our MRM library, we would probably find that many of the manuals quote the Journal of Discourses, as we know that Mormon leaders have quoted the Journal of Discourses in their conference messages and the other sermons that they have given.
Well, I'd have to say I doubt most Mormons have even ever seen the Journal of Discourses, 26 volumes. We happen to own a set. They're not easy to find. They're pretty expensive to buy.
It's
the whole set.
It's about $500 to buy a set.
So most Mormons aren't going to have the actual set. They might have it on a Gospel Library CD.
That's a good point that you mentioned, because the Gospel Library CD does include the Journal of Discourses.
Sure does.
On it. So if the Mormon Church doesn't feel that the membership should be really paying any attention to the Journal of Discourses, as Stephen Robinson implies, why is it included among the many other works on that particular CD? Now, of course, that CD, you can't purchase it anymore. You have to only get that Gospel Library is now online. They don't actually sell the CD anymore. I wish they did. It was much easier to operate, but that's a whole other issue.
Well, and I think, though, Bill, a lot of people probably don't know much about it. Let me read to you from the Encyclopedia of Mormonism and talk a little bit about what that journal is all about before we get any further, so that people will have a background in case they don't know. And this is what it says. The origin of the Journal of Discourses is tied to George D. Watt, an English convert baptized in 1837 by Heber C. Kimball. Before immigrating to the United States in 1842, Watt learned Pittman's shorthand. He used this new skill in his adopted land to record the proceedings of conferences of the church. He also recorded the trial of the accused murderers of the prophet Joseph Smith. After 1852, Watt transcribed church conference addresses for the Deseret News, but because the news was not generally available outside central Utah, and because Watt received little pay for his work, he proposed to publish privately and sell 16-page semi-weekly issues of the Journal of Discourses containing selected sermons of the general authorities. He was supported in this proposal by Brigham Young, who authorized him to print his sermons, and that's Encyclopedia of Mormonism, Volume 2, page 769.
Now, it says that he was authorized by Brigham Young to print his sermons. Now, the apologetic group, the Mormon apologetic group FAIR, would argue, well, yeah, but Brigham Young didn't actually approve every single sermon that he printed. So there's a little bit of a cloud over whether or not some of the transcriptions were actually accurate. It would help a lot if the Mormon Church is going to say that there are inaccuracies in the Journal of Discourses, if they could at least provide some kind of a basic list of what exactly are inaccuracies. Of course there's going to be inaccuracies because they are being transcribed by hand. So, of course, we understand that.
You know, going back to the Encyclopedia of Mormonism, Volume 2, page 769, it has some information here, and I think this is important. There were 1,438 speeches given by 55 people. Now, listen to the people. It was presidents. It was apostles. It was 70s. And then there were 16 other speakers. Brigham Young gave 390 of those 1,438 speeches. That's about a fifth or almost a quarter. John Taylor gave 162. Orson Pratt, 127. Heber C. Kimball, 113. George Q. Cannon, 111. 21 people gave a single speech, and the rest gave 2 to 66 speeches. But the reason I bring that out, these are some pretty big names. I would think if they were not being quoted accurately, something would have been done about that. Somebody who went to the sermon and then reads his account later, we would have heard about this. As far as I know, this was not the case, that these men all accepted this as being authoritative and correct.
And especially when you see the journal being quoted in correlated manuals, I have to assume that when you see the Journal of Discourses being quoted in a correlated manual, that quote in particular has to be considered to be an accurate quotation. Many of the quotations that we cite, either on MRM.org or in our books or in our newsletter, many of those quotes can be found in another source, not just from the Journal of Discourses. And also, we have never been able to really find any repudiation of the statements that we cite from the Journal of Discourses. We hear blanket assertions, and that's what oftentimes you hear from a Latter-day Saint, especially like FAIR and guys like that, or organizations like that. But they don't give us particulars. Tell us specifically what is inaccurate, prove it's inaccurate, and believe me, we won't use it. But they have yet to do that. They just make a blanket assertion, which makes it very difficult for us to know, and very difficult for the Latter-day Saint to know whether or not something was said by a leader of the past during this time period, whether it was to be believed or not.
Now, the journals are being quoted regularly, including the last conference in the April conference of 2012. It's generally asserted that this must be true if they're going to use it in their quotes and they're going to use it in their manuals, as you said. Why do you like to use the book Discourses of Brigham Young?
Well, Discourses of Brigham Young was put together by John Witzo, and he basically went to the Journal of Discourses, and he took snippets, and he took portions, he took paragraphs, and he compiled a lot of these statements from Brigham Young into what's known as the Discourses of Brigham Young. Many times, if I have the choice between quoting the Discourses of Brigham Young or quoting the Journal of Discourses, I prefer to quote the Discourses of Brigham Young only because John Witzo obviously felt that those quotations were accurate, and that's why he placed them in his book. Now, I have to admit, I've found there are some discrepancies between what Witzo says and what is in the Journal of Discourses. But he doesn't give any evidence as to why he made a change. And that's what makes it difficult.
Wouldn't it be nice to be able to take all of these manuals and all these sermons from the general conferences in recent years and put all those Journal of Discourse quotes together? Maybe that would give us the accurate count of what we can actually trust, because they certainly do quote it whenever it's useful for their points. And then anytime we come up with something else, like we can talk about this perhaps tomorrow, Adam God from Brigham Young, then all of a sudden it's no longer to be believed. This is very hard for someone on the outside to try to better understand what Mormonism is really teaching.
And it's the usual thing. It's the usual problem we have when trying to get a straight answer from the LDS Church. There is always this level of plausible deniability. Oh yeah, they transcribed it. And when we use the quote, it's a good transcription. But when someone who's critical of the Mormon Church uses a quote, well, then that becomes suspicious. We're not quite sure if that particular quote needs to be believed. We're going to spend some time looking at the Journal of Discourses and what the LDS Church itself has said about it, as well as what the transcribers said about it, and even some of the background of these transcribers.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.